Good morning. Today is a Friday, March the 1st. Truly, truly frightening.
Joining Buenos dias.
What does that have to do with the 1st?
That's just...
Oh, you're saying...
Good day to you.
Howdy.
Good day to you, sir.
Yes. Sir.
Sir.
That's probably why I didn't recognize you then. Miles Slattery from the City of Eureka is with us this morning. Well, I'm sure we'll talk about water and backups and all kinds of fun like that.
That's super fun, yes.
Yes, all kinds of things. And so we'll start with our fun here. You ready?
Yep.
Why, when someone ignores the rules, do we say that they've turned a blind eye to it?
I mean, I assume because it kind of makes sense. I mean, you're trying to avoid being called out for doing this, so you don't pay attention to it.
I thought you were going to say blindsided.
No. Would be a football term.
You missed that one, too. Yeah. In 1801, while second in command of a British fleet near Copenhagen, Horatio Nelson was told that his commander had sent up flags ordering a retreat. Nelson lifted his spyglass to his previously blinded eye and said he couldn't see the order. And then he ordered and led a successful attack. Nelson's insubordination became legend and gave us the expression, turn a blind eye.
That's pretty good.
So if you have any one-eyed wonders inside the staff, pay attention to them.
I will.
Is it true?
I never turned a blind eye.
Doesn't indicate that they're lies. No.
It's all facts.
That's what it says. Yep.
I'm pretty amazed that would happen that long ago and it still holds true today.
Oh, there's a lot of that stuff. I'm reading, what am I in now? Love's Labor Lost. Shakespeare, front to back. And it's amazing how many phrases and
you really read Shakespeare?
I am plowing through. Yes, it was a commitment I made to myself and a couple of others. And I thought, so I've suffered through.
I'm impressed.
Some of them. Well, I'm not done.
Of course not. There's a lot of it.
Yeah, but it's interesting, particularly because so much of it was politically rooted.
In that day, yeah.
Yeah, who the good guys were and the bad guys were?
Yes.
The good guys were those who were in power at the time.
Everybody is good guys now, though, right?
In England? I don't know. It doesn't seem to be that way sometimes. Oh. So any surprises with the deluge we've been having? The last couple of days?
Surprisingly, it hasn't been. I mean, we do what we call for the streets crew. And by the way, I just want to congratulate Danny Smith. Danny Smith had 27-year career as our streets superintendent.
And where'd you get rid of him?
He retired yesterday.
So you forced him out?
No.
27 is like the first half of a career.
Totally amicable. There's absolutely no animosity at all.
27 years?
That's 27 enough? Years at the city. Thank you, Danny, for all you've done. So anyway, they call it sniping. So typically when we get rains, you have the cross-corner culverts at all of the majority of our intersections.
Right, that's the puddle that comes out.
Yep. So they go through and they call it sniping. They pull the debris out from that so that it drains through. And we haven't, even our parks and stuff, I mean, even with these rains, we haven't, knock on wood, had...
That's Formica, by the way.
Yes.
Or Wilson Art.
Yeah. We haven't
see this brown thing on the front?
That should not go.
That's called wood, yes.
Yeah, see this, you can...
This over here, it's called wood also.
Yes.
Your aim is pretty soft.
Yes.
You may explain your golf
game. So we haven't had... My golf game's actually pretty good right now.
Yeah, great. Yeah, when you're 4 inches of rain. Yeah.
I went and played the other day. It's playable.
Yes. Yeah, huh?
You don't find all your balls, but it's still playable.
Yeah. Well, that's never been your definition of success, is it?
No. No, but from the rain standpoint, we've held up pretty well, actually. Haven't had any major tree falls or our flooding's been, we had some king tides before and there was some flooding from that, but nothing more than different.
Whatever. They used to call them high tides.
High tides.
Everything has new words.
Above 8 feet, yes.
Yeah, that was normal, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Everything has to have a new label on it for its names. I'm just saying blanket statement here. Now, if you want to apply it to something specifically, knock your socks off.
What did Jones call it? The the new one they call the heavy rains.
Oh, are you talking about not the jet stream, but the river, whatever?
Flood, whatever.
Yeah.
What's it called? Come on, give it to me.
I just think of it as a storm front, but now they've got...
No, they call it a...
Yeah, I know.
Jesus, come up with it. Mike Jones brought it up last week.
Yeah. No, they you know, it's in the news, it's in the weather.
Alluvial flood or something weird.
It's not alluvial.
I don't know.
Ground.
I'm making stuff up now.
Is it? It's not... Oh man!
I get you. I guarantee you, there's people.
Not
in
the
their
jet
car.
Stream. What's the other? I know they're yelling
people in their
at
car,
us.
Yes, going, you idiot.
Yeah. Well, that's a morning habit. Air.
Fluvial. I want to say alluvial flow, but that's not it.
No. Whatever.
See, now you're stuck. You can't even ask me a question because you're thinking that.
Did you find it? Look up airstream or jet stream or something like that.
Come on, what they call, like, when it rains a lot now, they call it something totally different.
Yeah, it's not the jet stream anymore. It's
yes.
something different. Or thunderstorms.
I'm going with alluvial flood.
You are, huh?
You can look it up.
I think that's what happens after the rain, not what you call it. What? Oh, man.
They say it all the time now.
Yeah, I know. That's what is even more disturbing.
Yes. Somebody texted me. Maybe they're saying that's what it is.
Okay. Good.
Atmospheric river.
Yeah, that's alluvial.
See, people listen to your show. Did you see that? I just got text. Atmospheric river.
You're famed.
Thank you, Donald. You're the best.
What's it called?
Atmospheric river.
All right.
Alluvial flood is very close.
Yeah, I'm still trying to figure out whether it's a La Nina or El Nino. Yeah.
And by the way, Donald Wilkes is the reason why our harbor is in the shade. Donald, you're the best.
Okay, obviously you're kissing up for some purpose.
No, I've known Donald forever. Donald has been a local here, born and raised, has a checkered past like we all do, but has been
I have a chess past.
Yes, I have a checkered past.
I figured you probably maxed out at checkers.
Yes. Yes, I haven't gotten to the chess game.
There you go. Okay, well, we can work on that one a little bit too, huh?
All right.
Yeah, one of those shows.
That was pretty good. Did you see that? You got a text in the middle of the show.
No, you got the text. That's pretty good. Phone's charging. It's 8:19.
Murphy's Markets has everything you need to get through your day the healthy way. From drinks to snacks and everything in between, right now, Amy and Brian coconut water is only $1.99. Brew Dr. Kombucha drinks are also just $1.99. And Annie's homegrown products are $2.49. A 6-ounce Yoplait yogurt is only 79 cents. And don't forget about chicken of the sea tuna, 4 for $5. Get a boost for your day by stopping by Murphy's Markets, more than a grocer, your neighbor since 1971.
Good morning, KINS. News and Information Time. It's 8:24, Atmospheric River, if you're unaware of what that
alluvial
is.
Alluvial flood is
You can talk to Miles when you see him wandering on the streets. How are the roads during, it's a hydrologic pressure, you know, every time you go through a pothole and there's water, it pounds. I know you guys have been trying to play with Harris, play with Myrtle and Sixth.
Yes.
Are those things ticketed for this year to really get a real done job?
Because of my conversations with you, our public works director is an avid listener to your show, and so he's guaranteeing next year that Myrtle from Harrison.
Next year?
All the way. This year, excuse me. 2024. I'm thinking in fiscal terms. So our fiscal year starts.
No, okay, now you heard that here. He's thinking in fiscal terms. Period. Yes. That's as okay. I knew this was a good day.
This upcoming fiscal year, which will be in July, Myrtle is going to be done from Harrison all the way, the extent of going all the way to 101.
Okay, now are you going to be nice guy or chicken man at Myrtle and Harrison?
Are you going to
take it? Are you going to take it across to the crosswalk,
or
in the middle of the intersection? Are you going to cut it up and stop right there?
We may actually hire a surveyor to make sure that we have it at the right line. I'm just joking. But we just had a conversation with the county yesterday, and we've been talking about sharing our capital improvement projects. I was going to say CIP, but then you...
Thank you very much. Atmospheric River.
Projects, yes. To have that discussion about how we can coordinate. I mean, we did the same thing on Harrison. So on Harrison, it's split in the middle,
right.
And we split those costs. So we're hoping that we can coordinate the efforts between ours and theirs, and where there's, an area that butts up against the county, that they can coordinate with us so that we can make it through. Like right now, E Street, if you go to the end of E Street on the south side there, you'll notice a big difference, because we did E Street and the county didn't have that in their plan. So now we're trying to coordinate that so that when those things happen, we can make sure that they're
so
contiguous.
Both, not both ends, because it's not the end of Harrison, but
yeah.
Both those major intersections will be on the table for discussion.
I can't imagine, and Brian, please make sure you don't do this. I can't imagine we'd stop in the middle of Harrison at Myrtle. And if we do,
yeah, right. the Myrtle at Harrison one. Okay, the other end. It's always leaking underneath. You know, the services district is always out there dealing with bubbling up, whether it's the pipe breaks or water seepage or whatever it is. It's like every other year you got four or five of those springs popping up. I would think that intersection is going to be far more difficult than the one down at the Myrtle
side. And that could cause a problem. I know that the county is
there's a creek under there.
Really big concentrating on, their roads, and I don't envy them. I mean, it's very difficult. They have such a wide expanse of responsibility, and it's got to be difficult, making sure that you can keep track of what's the most highly traveled roads and what's the priority. And
how do you guys do those little speed bump things anymore?
We get asked for them a lot, and it's, 8th
little,
Street.
Little wires that go across the tally.
Oh, no, we
traffic.
Do that all the time.
Yeah.
We do that all the time. Yeah.
So you have a pretty good sense.
Yeah, and that's how we dictate whether or not there's going to be a stop sign or a speed hump or whatever it may be. And so there has to be certain criteria met before you put in a stop sign. So we have people calling us all the time because of excessive speeds on their street, and we have to do a study and make sure that there's a warrant for those stop signs to go in. And unfortunately, where people think they should go in don't meet those warrants a lot of the time.
Well, I would
think 8th Street being a perfect example of that. When I go to the golf
they're
course,
still called a major thoroughfare,
yes.
Thoroughfare, right? You still need to have those in whatever size city you have.
Yeah.
The main drags.
Yeah.
If you have stop signs every block, great. Everybody's going to go 10 miles an hour, but there's not going to be anybody driving.
True. And if you talk to EPD, I was talking to the chief the other day, and we were asking about the same thing.
That'd be chief. You don't confuse
chief
me with him.
No.
Okay. If you use his last name, then you're safe.
Okay.
If you say Chief Brian. It's like, major panic. Just like he dropped Brian a little earlier in the show, that could be panic also for some people.
Chief Stevens.
There you go. Okay.
He's, where there is stop sign, it actually can create more accidents. And so, it's a difficult decision. But I can tell you that we don't put them in unless they meet the warrants. And it's frustrating for certain folks because they feel as though if you put in more stop signs, you're going to get people to slow down. And
is it volume? Is it accidents? Is it speed?
All of those things factor in, yes. And so
okay.
When we do those little speed strips, that's to determine not only speed limits, but also whether it warrants stop sign or some other.
So Old Town doesn't have a lot of traffic per se. Certainly doesn't have a lot of speeding.
No.
Okay. Not a lot of accidents. Okay, but now all of a sudden we have a whole bunch more stop signs.
Well, all of our just
is that something
knows,
different?
Which was trippy
different
to me
standard?
When I first moved here. I didn't realize every single one of our intersections in the city of Eureka Limits are controlled. So
right, that was something Arnie Millsap was really pushing for.
Yeah,
either yields or stops, so that everybody kind of knows, and you don't have the four way.
There's a yield or a four way or two way. One of our intersections, which was odd to me because. Now that I drive around, I recognize that when you're driving around, there's at least one stop sign going one way or a four-way stop.
There's a right-of-way.
Yeah.
Can't rely on the... Ooh, I almost said a jargon.
You can't.
California Vehicle Code. almost.
Did you
going to
say CVC?
I almost said CVC. I had the picture in my head, but I checked off because I'm a Brian. It's 8:30.
This is the Lars Larson Show.
And these kids who come, they become Americans before a lot of Americans become Americans.
Now, here's your host, Lars Larson.
Hey there, it's Lars Larson. Join me for the Lars Larson Show, weeknights 10 to midnight. Honestly provocative talk radio on KINS.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:34. We're back talking shop with major baseball fan, Miles Slattery. Yeah, you probably don't want to share that story, but I understand why you kind of got shunned.
I did. He didn't talk to me for the rest of the evening. What we were talking about is that baseball players are pretty much golfers. You don't really need to be an athlete. You just have to have good high-hand coordination.
You want to go to the public parking lot at City Hall if you're going to be protesting this?
Yes.
Yeah, don't go onto the private property parking lot. Yeah, and actually, you know, you're only on the second floor, so people could demonstrate their athletic abilities.
Yes.
By standing at the sidewalk and throwing a baseball at your window. And prove the point.
Even though it's from 1950s, there are dual panes, so if they did, it would only hit the first one.
Well, it depends on how strong their athletic prowess was.
That's true. I would think it would take a football player and not a baseball player in order to break the glass, though.
Oh, now he's really laying the smack down. Yeah. You can find him wandering in the woods at the golf course also. Oh, you know, nothing sounds more exciting and engaging to me than a risk management conference.
Yeah, so we went down, myself, Chris and Galt, her title. She runs our EOS, emergency operations, as well as Pam Powell and one of our HR directors went down to the desert for a risk management conference.
Okay, so they're having a convention during spring training in the area of spring training.
I didn't even recognize that.
Oh, Palm Springs used to. Used to be the Angels, I think.
I didn't. The only thing I was the
you didn't
tennis
see,
tournament.
You didn't see
up.
A bunch of white legs walking around.
No, tennis okay. tournament was coming up in March, so there was a bunch of preparations.
And you didn't say anything about tennis Wells. Players either, did you?
I did not. No.
Good move.
I didn't.
Because rackets are weapons.
Yes. There was that coming up in March. I think it's the first week in March that they have the tennis tournament there. But anyway, super interesting. They were had a. Basically, an event that they had a presenter there, this lawyer that was talking about public records request acts and related.
that got everybody's attention,
it's
though.
Super weird because people do get geeky about it.
Oh yeah,
super excited about it. But it was weird because they're talking about, you know, police and what's allowed to be disclosed. And what isn't allowed to be disclosed has changed significantly over the years.
And probably what form it is.
Yes.
Yeah, you just don't make copies and hand them out.
No. And before, it was very protective of especially police and POBAR, the Police Officers Bill of Rights, and has changed significantly in what's allowed to be disclosed and what's not allowed to be disclosed. And so
narrowing it down?
The guy. What's that?
Narrowing it down?
No, they're expanding it. They're making it so that there's a... God, I don't want to get into this.
So some of the past information that wasn't allowed is now allowed?
100%, yes.
Or required?
And has to be disclosed. So there's certain things that if severe bodily injury and grave... There's two different definitions, and there's a big thing in the courts right now as to which... at what level do you consider it severe bodily injury and... And when those things happen and there's a threat of that, then that dictates what can be disclosed and what can't. So obviously, if there's an officer-involved shooting, those type of things, you basically have a certain period of time before that has to be released, any body-worn camera.
Even if it's an active investigation?
So that's where it gets tricky. You know, if there's an active investigation, you can delay the timing at which you have to give that up. But once the investigation is over, it's disclosable now, no matter what.
So it almost becomes public, really public information.
The PRA, yes.
The whole.
And so there's the definition in law of great bodily injury, and I forget the two terms, but when it's great bodily injury, there's been an argument that says that anything that would be a threat to an officer, physical threat to the officer, qualifies under this law. So that means that almost every instance of an officer, because officers have a threat of getting hurt in pretty much everything they do. So the argument by the groups that want more transparency are saying that basically everything is disclosable. And so there's going to be some
case law,
big lawsuits that are coming up from it.
Which will establish the case law.
And that's why I got an argument, because he was basically trying to make money and talk about this.
Oh, saying that this was a positive development?
No, a negative development. He was going to make sure that you guys didn't have to give rid of any of this information. And I said to him, it's a good thing that that information goes out, because I don't think that any public official should have any problem with releasing what they do, obviously with protecting their own rights. And
that's what I was saying. You know, if we had civility in our civilization, okay, that's one thing. But I don't see that there's clear-cut definitions anymore. There's blurring on everything. You know, it's very cut and dry unless I'm involved. But if I'm involved, then it takes on a different definition. So you got all these individuals.
Totally true.
And pushing the limit and thinking that anything and everything is fair game. Well, maybe it is, maybe it's not. Yeah. You know, there's this thing called victims' rights also.
No, and it's a big problem.
Totally, totally different.
Yeah. I mean, we just, you know, we have our oversight board now. We have the COP board, which is citizens' oversight of police practices that we have now. And I think that, in my opinion, this is what I was arguing to him, is that it's been beneficial to our public safety folks. Because when you're looking at it and you have these people, when you don't disclose that information, there is a thought that there's some nefarious thing going on.
Right, cover up of something or another.
And when you have the ability to demonstrate that there isn't, because there's always those people who are saying that cops are seedy and they're doing seedy stuff, but when you have the ability to disclose that information and demonstrate that they're not, and they're human beings and they're making decisions, and sometimes they may not be the right decision, but 99% of the time they're the right decision.
Yeah, that's called learning and experience, and not to diminish the impact of some of these decisions, you know, if it does cause significant issues. But there are lawsuits that are filed on those already.
100%.
My concern would be Officer Bob, not Officer Brian, Officer Bob, has some kind of a thing against him, or he's involved.
It's Chief Brian.
Chief Bob, yes. No. Everybody knows where Bob lives. Everybody knows what church Bob goes to.
That's exact.
They know where Bob's kids are going to school. Okay, now all of a sudden, Bob and his entire family are put at risk because somebody thinks that something didn't turn out the way that they wanted to, and by golly, they're going to get retribution.
100% true, and that's why when we go through these things, there's, you know, we don't name officers by their name, and unless they were involved in that situation, they're not going to know who they are.
So there's some redacting that goes on.
It's all redacted.
Okay.
Yeah, there's no names, not even ranks. It's just, you know, this officer did this, this officer did that. There's not names to it. But no, I totally get that. That's a potential problem. We haven't seen that yet. I know that our...
Oh, don't start saying that.
There are concerns about it, though. But at the same time, I think it's... In the long run, it's been beneficial for us. And that's what I was arguing to this presenter, because he was trying to, in my opinion, drum up business through this. And at the same time, he said that, you know, body-worn cameras are the best thing that ever happened, because they demonstrate that what the officers are doing are the right thing that they did. And
yeah, I think a lot
that
of...
needs to be commended and recognized, that they have a really difficult job, and 9 times out of 10, they do what's right.
It's challenging, I would think, if you're say, reviewing the case or reviewing a situation. You know, if you're, I guess, sergeants would be the ones that do that. Sit there and watch movies.
Yeah.
Over and over, or you have a case that, you, that you're, cold case that you're trying to bring back. And you spend how much time going through all of this stuff? I mean, it's cool that the information is there, but I wonder how much of it is actually accessed, you know, or, you know, if there's a way to condense some of that information. It just, the labor in law enforcement, I don't think a lot of us appreciate how much time and effort it takes. God, it's like I'm talking to Chief Brian.
No, no, but you're right. It's weird to me because I came from a, you know, and I'm going to be honest about it. When I was in community services, it was almost a competition because, you know, at that time in the early 2000s when I was working, you know, public safety was, you know, it still is to this day, but they were getting, we were having cuts in other areas and they weren't having cuts. And so there was a competitive nature to this. And that was a hard time when I became city manager because everybody thought that I was going to poop on public safety.
Lean one way, yeah.
And they're not. I treat them as if, you know, they're my coworkers and I support them as well. And I've learned a lot about how much responsibility there is for a single officer. When you go out and you have a job, you're on your own when you're making those decisions. You don't, you're not talking to, you know, your boss and saying, hey, what do I do? You got to figure that out.
No, by then, it's what has already been done.
Yes, exactly.
It's,
so there's a lot that goes into it. Compared to other situations.
Yeah, you're in the moment all the time.
Yes.
Rather than studies and workshops
and
retreats.
You don't say, hey, Miles, what do I do?
Yeah.
They got to deal with it.
I don't think anybody does that, do they?
No. I don't often get those calls.
Good. Every department is now independent and is figuring things out.
Hey, I did chase down, and Chief Stevens will acknowledge, I chased down a criminal 2 weeks ago.
Did you kick the stroller out from underneath him?
No, but I ran over a mile, and what pissed me off the most is I ran all the way through, and I was sitting there talking to dispatch, saying, hey, here's he here. I started on 14th and G. I ended up down in Old Town, close to Old Town, chasing this jerk around, and this person was saying, hey, this person ripped me off. And so I followed him and called because I'm a good guy. I follow him all the way down, about a couple mile and a half. Swanson goes and gets him, and then... the damn people don't even press charges. I was a little disappointed on that.
I'm surprised that they were able to understand you between the gasps for air and the clutching of the knee.
I'm healthy. Come on, I'll get there.
A mile and a half?
Yeah.
In those shoes?
In these shoes, yes.
Yeah.
They're good walkers.
KINS, News and Information Time, it's 8:46.
Hearty and healthy foods are abundant at Murphy's Markets. USDA Choice Boneless Beef Chuck Roast is now $5.99 a pound. USDA Choice New York Strip Steak, $15.99 a pound. And USDA Grade A Boneless Skinless Chicken Thighs are only $3.99 a pound. Complement this with a Greek salad, now just $7.99 a pound, topped with Kraft salad dressing for only $3.75 for a 16-ounce bottle. Murphy's Markets, more than a grocer, your neighbor since 1971.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:51. We're back talking shop this morning with Miles Slattery. So, Miles, as we are looking at springtime, that's typically when a lot of those projects...
Are you sure it's spring?
It says it's March.
I can tell you the golf course doesn't feel like spring.
It's about, well, I could say Lent, if that feels better for you.
Yes.
Okay.
I was at the wine bar yesterday with Amiel, and she's going through her Lent.
The process. Wine...
Which is odd.
So you go somewhere and you use wine?
I do.
Yeah, okay.
I drink wine and wine.
Oh, good, okay. Time. Double combo.
So she's there and she's going through her Lent process.
Oh.
Which I'm not familiar with, but others are.
Well, I can direct you if you need to.
Okay.
Is this, this is roughly the time when all a lot of those projects get let out, right?
So we have Dias Park. Is out for bid.
That's 2030, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
That's out for bid.
That was a great discussion I had with a local merchant yesterday, too, about all the renaming of everything. Yes. Nobody knows where anybody is.
So it's actually on Google's Maps now. As a
oh, great.
Park, which is great. So you know, now you'll be able to find it.
Last weekend, I went to Patrick's Point.
It's Sumac. Right? But anyway, that's out. That bid, that went out to bid before, so that's coming out. A lot of projects. Right now, Highland Park, which has been...
Known as Highland Park, historically.
It still is Highland Park. But that has been a thorn in my side ever since I started working for the city, because I recognize that the vast majority of our K through 6 kids live in that neighborhood, and it's been fully neglected, to be honest with you, and we're finally getting to renovate it.
That was a neighborhood hub for a long time.
And it's going to become that again. We're going to have brand new tennis courts. The basketball court already got redone, but brand new tennis courts, new concession stand and restroom that's going to be going in.
Is it a baseball field or softball or whatever?
All of the fencing.
Wiffle ball, whatever.
Fencing's going to be redone. And then Redwood Empire Little League, because of what's going on at Jacob Haney, which is still Jacob Haney, by the way, that because of the renovations that are going to be going there, Highland Park, they're going to start putting some effort into the field itself, but we're going to replace all of the, we're replacing the backstop and all of the fencing.
Well, it's been, 50 years?
Yeah. I mean, if I wasn't an 50, athlete 60? And I played baseball, I'd be pretty happy to hit a ball out onto Highland.
Now, you said athlete and baseball in the same hyphenated phrase.
I said if I wasn't an athlete, I'd play baseball.
Oh. Go ahead, guys. Just line up. Yeah. I'd give out your license plate, but I don't.
I think Brian Crawford is out there pulling his hair out right now because he thinks that baseball players are athletes.
And okay.
It's just not the case.
So, what do you see at the Kennedy Fields? Just a bunch of people wandering around and during dusk on the lawn?
I would say kickball. Players are bigger athletes than baseball players. Because you actually have to kick the ball.
Okay, kicking is now on the table and impossible also. Thanks for coming by, and we'll see what the repercussions are on this one. See everybody Monday.